I wanted to know exactly how drones suddenly got to be everywhere, in pop culture as well as real life. So I asked MIT professor Missy Cummings. She's one of the advisors on our Science and Creativity series, and she spent 11 years as a Navy fighter pilot. She experienced the dawn of drones firsthand from the deck of an aircraft carrier.
And when I saw how eye-wateringly awesome this plane was at landing itself on an aircraft carrier, I started to really have some concerns about where I was going to be as a pilot in the next few years. Uh-huh. And then at the same time, the Tomahawk missile had started to come online that was also GPS guided. I said to myself, you know what, these two things are going to come together pretty soon and they're going to obviate me. And that's pretty much what happened.
And you've got a PhD in engineering, so you know how aviation works in a deep way. But does having been an F-18 pilot help you better understand and research drones than just some dude who's, you know, studied?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm not sure how other professors do it without having been a fighter pilot first, because it really helps anchor me in particularly in the ground control station designs. How do we actually design technology that works for people? I probably lost 24 friends while I was in the Navy that crashed because of a bad interaction with the system, either poor design or their misunderstanding of what the system was doing. And, you know, and that really helps spur me on as a personal motivation to developing better aviation systems, which has kind of spilled over now into all kinds of advanced control systems like nuclear power control.
There's also, I see, a growing consumer market for drones. You know, there are these little quadcopters that are sold in gadget stores and shopping malls. Is there anything new about those that make them differ from the radio-controlled airplanes that were around when I was a kid?
The difference between UAVs/drones today as opposed to remote-controlled planes or helicopters is the level of autonomy, the level of smarts. So when you have a remotely controlled plane, you still have to turn a stick left and right to get the plane to go left and right. But in an autonomous aircraft, you tell it, I want to go left, and then the plane figures out how to make itself go left.
Uh-huh.
And it also theoretically should have on board enough smarts that if you lose the communication link, there's actually something called a heartbeat that always goes between two remotely controlled, the ground control station and the aircraft. And if you ever lose that, the aircraft should know how to get itself down out of the sky without hurting someone. That's certainly where we're going. And by that, I mean that drone development and in fact, the most innovation that's happening in drones right now left the military sphere about a year ago. And increasingly, we're going to start to see some of the big leaps happen in the commercial world.
We've seen, not surprisingly, in the last few years especially, drones appearing in Bourne-type movies, chasing usually the hero and trying to kill him. That probably isn't great PR for the unmanned aerial vehicle world, is it?
Well, and I think you've hit on something really important. I believe that one of the reasons drones, they get such a bad reputation is because we can actually visualize them. And this is something where we're getting it from the movies. We can see that movie. We can visualize in our head that a UAV or a drone could be coming after us and spying on us in some way. But in fact, your cell phone is much more likely to violate your privacy than a drone ever would. And certainly your use of Facebook or other social media sites is exposing you to much more liability. But it's hard for us to kind of envision the bits and the bytes flowing back and forth and how people are stealing our electronic records and how they're making sense of that and their big data mining efforts. And so I think it's just harder for your average American to visualize how a program like PRISM worked, which is actually far more intrusive into our everyday lives than any drone ever could be.
I read that you prefer, as the world of this world does, to prefer to call them unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs. But I hear today you're using drone unhesitatingly. You've given
yes,
in.
Yes, well, I've had a turnaround of thought, right? Because I'm a person who does the psychology of technology. And for a while, myself and a bunch of people in the community were adamant that you shouldn't call them drones because drones connotates a negative stupidness, if you
right.
will, about the technology. But then as I've been talking and I lecture around the country and, in fact, around the world, I've actually had a change of heart. I think that the real reason people like drone is because it's one syllable. It's a lot easier to say than unmanned aerial vehicle, and the media can have so many more cute twists on words, like droning on about drones, drat those drones. So, you know, I actually think that the rest of the drone community needs to step up the plate. Look, that's what people call them. That's what they want to say. We should just go with it.
And in this case, I think also, in addition to the one syllable, it's almost onomatopoeic. It's drone, you know?
I think that's a great insight, and I'm going to totally plagiarize you on that.
Excellent.
One now.
Missy Cummings, thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much.
Missy Cummings is Associate Professor of Aeronautics and Astronautics at MIT.
Won't you tell her, please, to put on some speed? Follow my lead. Oh, how I need some.